Thank you.
There you go. You're all set.
Okay, thank you. Herb, if you would lead us in the pledge to the flag.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
So we're going to start. I'll accept a motion for approval of the meeting minutes from August 2nd of 2022 as presented.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Legislator Corcoran. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, great. Thank you. So tonight we're going to have a small, short presentation from the Ulster County Soil and Water Management Group and Jake Wiedemeyer. I hope I always say that wrong. I think, is that correct?
Wiedemeyer.
Okay. Yeah. So Jake Wiedemeyer is going to be making a presentation to us for a few minutes here when we start the meeting. So take it away, Jake.
Thank you. I'm going to share my screen.
Oh, we set you up to do that. Hang on.
All right.
Okay, why won't that close now? Hang on, I don't want to share my screen. What am I doing wrong here?
Sorry. Well, I'm going to share my screen.
Yes, you're going to share yours, but it's just 1 second. I'm having a problem getting this. All participants, share a screen. Okay. You should be able to share.
Can you see it now?
Yes, we do.
Excellent. Okay, you ready for me?
We are.
All right. My name is Jake Wiedemeyer, and I work for the Ulster County Soil and Water Conservation District. And I gave a presentation back in May. And I just want to let you, the committee, know what we've been up to and what our future plans are. So back in May, we had this slide of who we are with our partners, and who's the NRCS and the board of directors, but we don't have to go through that. One thing I want to say is that we did hire Travis Ferry. He's our new district technician. He's a certified crop advisor, and he comes with a lot of experience. So he's a welcome addition to our team. He does a lot of agricultural work, planning, design, grant writing. He also helps us out with our stream program and also our stormwater services. So this is what we've been up to this summer. So current projects, right now we're doing the Stony Clove Stream Restoration Project above Jansen Road. It's funded by the New York City DEP. This project's approximately $2,100,000. We're doing about 1,475 linear feet of stream restoration, channel realignment, stream bank stabilization, and floodplain creation. This is to minimize turbidity and also improve stream habitat. At the same time, concurrently, we're working with the New York City DEP. They're funding this project. We're managing it. We're on the other side of the valley with the Panther Kill Stream Restoration Project. So total funding is $511,692. And that entails about 500 linear feet of stream bank restoration for water quality and habitat improvement, as well as stream bank stabilization. So those projects are going on concurrently. And so far, we're ahead of schedule, except for today's rain.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Jake. Did that significant rainfall that we've had in the past couple of days impact these projects in any way?
Stony Clove Lane, no. We're ready to get out of the stream. Okay, so all the in-stream work will be done by Thursday. We're still ahead of schedule. But for Panther Kill, we had to shut down the site today. But we're still probably about 7 days ahead of schedule, working days. More current projects, getting into the agricultural realm. with round 27. It's a competitive grant through New York State. The state contribution is almost $232,000. So we're right now in the surveying and design phase of three agricultural projects, two agrochem mixing facilities and one fuel storage facility. So that's water quality and public health benefits. Okay, so we do fuel tank replacements going from single wall to double wall. A lot of old tanks out there, so there's grant money available. So that's a competitive grant. Now we're getting into climate resilient farming. So we're a very good time where we just developed a mini grant program. Up to $50,000 per year will be devoted for the planting of cover crops, up to $5,000 per farm since it's our first year. 18 farms are participating. 4/5 of the money is already spent, which is good. And at a minimum, we plan on continuing this program for 3 years. Climate Resilient Farming Grant Round 6. We ranked number 2 in New York State with our grant application. So there's a 99% chance we're going to get this funding. We have to wait for the governor's announcement. So once that's official in September or October, we should be in contract. So again, more cover crops, as well as we're going to use that grant money to purchase a no-till drill for rental within the county. It's long awaited.
Hey, Jake, can I ask you a couple of quick questions about those particular projects there? So
yes, sir.
Are your applications exceeding your ability to finance, or are you in good shape there, or do you have excess funding for more farms?
For the climate resilient farming grant, we're well within the budget. And then with the cover crop program, we do have a little bit of wiggle room, but I think $50,000 a year is a good start for 2022.
And are you turning anyone? I guess my question more is, are you turning anyone away, or are you soliciting farmers to apply for these grants?
We have not turned anybody away. This is the first year. I think year two, we might. So we might have to increase that allocation. So 50,000 might have to go up to 60. Yes, Herb.
I was just going to say, I think once the farmers around the county realize that there is a no-till drill available for rental, it's very quickly going to get booked.
That would result in staff time. So Travis and I would have to do the delivery and the rental agreements, and we might have to hire somebody part-time to assist with transport, because this is a big county.
Well, we're ready, willing, and able to help there, Jake. So if it's a successful program, we're going to have willing recipients committee.
Good.
Thank you. Now we're in the Agricultural Environmental Management Program. That is non-competitive funding. So we had competitive funding with Round 27 and Climate Resilient Farming. The state recognized that a lot of farms, especially in the Hudson Valley, are underserved because the big dairies in central New York would outcompete us for competitive grant funding. So the state's willing to, it's a two-year contract cycle, and it's going to continue. But we have two projects going on. One is a rotational grazing system. It's the second one in 2 years, and then a covered barnyard. So the total cost for these projects is $91,250. Now, with inflation, I did put in for ARPA funding. I emailed Legislator Nolan, so waiting to hear back. But this project here, you know, it might be in excess of, $80,000. But we do have some reserve funds with board approval to help with inflationary costs. Go lay down, dog. Don't mind my dog. Okay. Now, assistance to residents and municipalities. Usually about twice a week, we're getting phone calls for assistance. That'd be stream bank erosion, erosion and sediment control, stormwater, pond site enhancement, agricultural feasibility, and permitting assistance. So that usually results in a site visit and technical assistance free of charge to all Ulster County residents and municipalities. Like I said, back in May, we're wrapping up the Arbor Day initiative. That was that project was a lot of fun. I think we supplied at least 40 trees to 5 different municipalities, including mulch. We paid for that with our state funding that we received. We did apply for a stream management plan grant application for 5 municipalities in the Lower Sopus watershed. The fire districts know us. I'm still a fireman regarding stormwater management. We plan to do a dry hydrant program too in the future. And we have a close relationship with the town assessors with soils group worksheets, which is agricultural tax relief to farmers. All right. So we're almost done. So we already went through this 2022 funding sources. This number has not changed. So we're getting, we generated about $355,300. That's for us to survive, to pay the bills and run programs. Okay. The estimate is based on billable hours. So we estimate 35,000 in billable hours for 2022. It might be more, it might be less, but we're getting pretty close. Same thing with the AEM program. Conservation planning, implementation. So they are estimates, but we are generally pretty close. Project funding brought into the county from our programs. Again, we have the the Arbor Day initiative. We switched some funding around. We have the Part C cover crop program. Then AEM, that was from last May's slide. Again, non-point source, but the Climate Resilient Farming Grant, I added that because I'm 99% sure we're going to get it. And so basically, with all the work that we're doing, the different programs, we're generating almost $3.1 million for 2022. So basically what the county gives us, it's a 33-to-1 rate of return with the current county allocation. So this is what we've been doing, and this is what we plan on doing in the future. So like the slide said, the ask and the why. So the district's asking for an additional $40,000 from the county, which would be $131,500. Might as well ask. Our reasoning behind it is that we just recently got enrolled into the New York State retirement system. It's been well awaited by all the employees. They've asked for it for years. We finally got in, but our annual deficiency payment is $39,334. We plan on paying it off sooner because of interest, but figure if the county can help with that, that would be great. Also, our health, auto, and liability insurance goes up about 5% a year. So that's about $2,000. And then with our increased services, especially with the no-till, there would be more staff time and equipment. We're going to have to update our old truck too. So what our future is with the direction of the board, right, with the help of Herb Litz, we're going to expand our services with no-till, of course. We're going to keep implementing our Part C mini grant program and possibly grow it, right? Not just farming, but to help out municipalities. We're expanding the agricultural environmental management programs. So there's a big need for nutrient management planning and technical assistance and applying for grants and actually doing the construction inspection, design, oversight. Again, we're doing more house calls. So we're developing a Facebook page, it's word of mouth, it's our website. Cornell Cooperative Extension, we partner well with them. They give us a lot of referrals. And we're actually partnering with, we have a really good livestock educator, well, Cornell does. So we talk at least twice a week. And their ag program's pretty strong. It's growing. But we are going to have to hire additional staff in the future to keep things going. We have expanded our stormwater services. We have a New York State DEC endorsed 4-hour erosion and sediment control course. That we provide, and it's free to all county employees. And again, we just want to promote the retention of our employees by providing a decent retirement benefit and keeping their salaries competitive. And that's about it. That's where we're heading. Thank you. Any questions?
Anyone on the committee, could you unshare that screen so I can see some faces, please? I just want to make sure everyone on the committee has an opportunity to ask a question if they have one.
It was that good.
Yeah, Jake, just give us a second here. So I think Jake might have to unshare. Is that right?
Yep.
There we go. Thank you. So anyone on the committee have any questions for Jake? Laura?
Yeah, I just have a comment. Jake, back in between 2008 and 12, had been advocating for soil and water to be part of the state retirement system. So I almost feel like the county owes them to that, to help them out as far as their budget goes, because it's well deserved, and I can't believe it took 12 years, but congratulations on keeping up the good fight.
Thank you.
So if no one else has a question, I actually have a question. So Jake, thinking about the impacts of climate change, and what we're seeing, especially in Ulster County, as a result of climate change, do you feel like the responsibilities and the work that you folks do will be impacted in a big way going forward or at all? I'm just sitting here thinking, I don't know how you folks don't get hammered with requests for help, especially after a weekend like this, right?
With climate change, you know, it's our duty as an agency to help any way we can. And the main thing is cost share assistance, especially with the economic climate. Okay. That's why we adopted the cover crop program, but also we're not here to subsidize farmers. So with success, riding out the economy and the weather, the key to success is adoption. So the more success we have over the next 3 to 5 years, the more farmers will adopt these practices.
Yeah. So do you think that you could take a greater role in that, in trying to encourage the farmers to take, you know, more actions to offset the results of climate change through education, through site visits, through some of the programs and the grants that you offer? Because I'm sitting here thinking, like, I can't believe they're not beating your doors now. I just can't believe that. I would think that.
Yes and no. I think me taking a greater role is greatly augmented with our partnership with Cornell Cooperative Extension. And I think the more boots on the ground, the better. But they're not beating the door down. What they're doing is they're blowing up my phone with texts. So the key to success with this job, and especially with the AEM program, sorry, my light went out because I had a roof leak. Anyway. The key to success is building relationships, and a lot of these relationships have spanned decades. So if there's a problem, they're either coming through the door or they're texting me or they're calling the office. And the good news is when we hired Travis, we're very careful who we hired because they have to know how to get along with people, and farmers have to trust and relate to the staff.
Yeah. Thank you. Legislator Litz and then Legislator Nolan.
Well, what I just wanted to add to that conversation is, you know, through best practices, we're changing as farmers. I know we used to spread fertilizer and cow manure and stuff like that on our fields. We used to plow them. With the no-till option, there's a couple of things that's helping. We're cutting down erosion. We're cutting down siltation. That leaves the property, goes in the streams, create these problems and issues. But at the same time, with no-till, you're planting a cover crop. And that cover crop then becomes part of fertilization for your future crop. So you're cutting back on the use of chemical fertilizers and things like that for your next crop, because you're actually fertilizing with an organic fertilizer. So these best practices moving forward, I think, is what's keeping a lot of farmers from beating down Jake's door, because it's how we do business now. We're changing the face of how farmers do business from the past going into the future.
Legislator Nolan?
Yes, really excellent presentation by the executive director of Soil and Water.
Thank you.
And I think your questions are really right on target, Chair Cahill. The difficulty that I've seen and the reason we have farmers coming to the Soil and Water Conservation Board saying, is there something else you can do to help us, is multi-causal. But I think there's a couple of big factors. One is that a lot of the grants that Jake presented tonight are capped in some way. So for the cover cropping, for example, that's capped at $5,000. There are some farmers that we could be subsidizing to cover crop for, at the level of $10,000 or $15,000, but that program won't allow the Soil and Water District to do that. So we need to supplement where those caps are. In addition, a lot of these programs are pretty labor intensive to apply and to manage and to have monitored. And what the small farmers tell us is that it's not worth their effort. A lot of the awards are based on per acre. You might get $5 per acre. Well, in Ulster County, 75 to 90% of our farms are small farms. They might be 25 acres or less. 25 acres times $5, nobody's going to fill out a grant application for $125 subsidy. So part of what the need is to fill in the gaps that these programs that tend to favor larger farms, or that even for larger farms have a cap so they can't be reimbursed for making the changes to the things we want them to be doing. That's the reason that I believe very strongly we need a supplemental program, at least in the short term. And I appreciate the efforts of Executive Director Wiedemeyer to grow the Soil and Water Conservation District. I think that has to be done as well.
Well, that's why they have the AAM non-competitive cost share funding. So the farmers that don't even compete with large, you know, they're underserved, but it's only 100,000. The cover crop program, it's not cumbersome. So the small farmers farming 26 acres times $82 an acre of cover crop, that's pretty lucrative, but it is a $5,000 cap. That's what the board and I agreed upon for the year one. We could expand it further, but with I understand what Legislator Nolan's saying. I mean, we do all the cumbersome work. We just show up at the paperwork here, sign here. It's a lot of work on us, but again, it's public funding. We have to account for every receipt. But with the cover crop program this year, Travis helped me with it. He's fantastic. One page application.
Great. Well, anyone else have any other questions or comments before we move on? Legislator Maloney?
It's more of a comment and an observation where I'm very comfortable with what I'm hearing and confident in what I'm hearing from Jake. And I think we're going to be talking about another resolution coming up soon. And I think we should probably get Jake's opinion on that resolution. And I think expanding some of what Soil and Water is doing may make more sense than what we're trying to do in this other resolution, but it's food for thought. And I think we'll all be talking about that.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? No. Okay. Well, thank you, Jake. I appreciate you by and keeping us updated. And, you know, I have a feeling you're going to be hearing more from us rather than us hearing more from you, because I think what you're offering is something that's going to expand in the future and may be the basis for, you know, helping other farmers and smaller farmers in a better way than we are right now. All right. Thank you. Okay. With that, welcome Legislators Hewitt and Maloney to the meeting, who we started before you guys got here. I apologize, but we have a pretty full agenda and we wanted to get going there. Resolution number 400, we'll start there, which is amending the 2022 budget to establish and fund the Ulster County Agricultural Crisis Relief Program, the Department of Finance, the Division of Recovery and Resilience. A second for discussion.
Second.
All right, so Legislator Hewitt, is there any discussion on this resolution? I think Legislator Criswell.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate what I said in the chair's meeting. Just to clarify, we did not take any action on this in the ARPA committee, just because we wanted to get a little bit more clarification on this this position that was a little unclear on where it was going to report to and how the structure of it was going to be. And so what we came up with, which everybody seemed to be in agreement, was that it would, the position would report to planning for the moment, and that it would be a 1-year contractor position, and then it would transform into a salaried position. But that year would give an opportunity to get somebody in place to be thinking about the biggest picture of this position. I think it would be an opportunity to sort of work out any kinks or any bugs in this position moving forward, and then get it firmly planted in the correct department, whether that is planning or whether that's economic development or where it goes. Legislator Nolan, Legislator Nolan and I worked a lot on this together in terms of trying to get this to that next place where we could actually move it forward. So, with the permission of the chair, if Legislator Nolan has anything to add to that.
Yep. Go ahead if you do, Legislator Nolan.
Thank you very much. Legislator Criswell, as the chair of the ARPA committee, did recommend this division of 1 year as the contractor position and then move this position in as a salaried position. I think that satisfies the needs of the people who believe that we should have this salary position, but we're too far along in the current budget cycle to throw it in, with the desire to start sooner and also have the advantage of an outside consultant who can offer some of those suggestions for best practices and see what's working and what's not working well in the first year. So I think that was extremely helpful. I have revised the budget to reflect that. The budget had included $90,000 per year, which would have been the level we thought would fund a salaried position, with the notion that if the committee requested or required us to do that, that we'd have it in the budget. The first year at a contractor position would now come in at about $75,000. So there would be $15,000 to shift for further monitoring or further programs as the money was needed. So the budget has been modified, amended to address that. The budget narrative now addresses the structure that Legislator Criswell articulated. And we've spoken with planning and with the Department of Environment and the Office of Economic Development. And I think they're well situated to cooperate to make this a really effective program right from the first year. And as I mentioned in my comments, this money really jumpstarts farmer subsidies, farmer assistance. The agricultural component of what Ulster County Soil and Water is doing right now is about $400,000 a year. And they are expanding, but that's going to be slow and organic. It needs to be. This will bring in several times that amount of funding and also do some things that Soil and Water District doesn't do in a big way and that other people can address, such as conservation easements, which the Soil and Water District does do, but there's a lot happening in that realm. There's a law clinic, the Pace Law Clinic, which has interns who could work with our farmers, and we need somebody to bring in all these components that some of the members of the Soil and Water Board have been doing outreach and trying to bring them in really coordinated way and let them serve the farmers. So that's, I think the resolution and its supporting materials now does what we wanted it to do, what the ARPA committee and others have asked. The ARPA committee has scored it. And I think that Legislator Criswell, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that it would be that the ARPA committee would have no objection to this committee moving this resolution forward with the notion that they get to look at it later in the month.
That's correct.
Great. Thank you, Legislator Nolan. Legislator Maloney.
Sure. First, many of us legislators aren't allowed into the chair committee meetings, those robust discussions that were had, all those facts thrown around, all those questions asked. None of us, half the legislature doesn't know anything about that. I much prefer that go on in this public standing committee. I think that's the way the legislature was meant to work and proceed. With regards to this, I heard it just referred to as slow and organic soil and water. I don't find it to be slow and organic. I find soil and water to be competent and transparent. They're the experts at this. There are experts. Jake said before, he doesn't want to subsidize farmers. It's not that he doesn't want to help financially farmers, but I believe what he means is to temporarily prop them up to the point at which they don't require continuous funds to do the things they're doing. I think we're just having a different definition of the word subsidize. I really don't know why we don't take this money and give it to soil and water. This is what they do. They're the experts. If we think we're going to do this faster with hiring some new person that I haven't seen a lot on title qualifications, what their daily job is going to be day in and day out, where we have experts that do this. We're all very impressed every time we hear Jake talk. We have it here. I don't know why we're going to try to reinvent this and have it answer to somebody in economic development. Why not take the $15,000 that we were going to hire a consultant for the Youth Bridge program, give it to 4-H? We have all these things in the county. Why not just take that money and put it where we know it's going to work? But instead, we're going to do a temporary one-year position. We don't know where it's exactly what it's going to do or who it's going to answer to, but it's going to do all this stuff really fast, faster than soil and water. That's what I think. I'll be a no on this. And I think I'm not a no on the premise or the idea or the approach. It's just the approach where I think what we have this expert right here. Why aren't we asking how we should do what we want to do and then let soil and water do it?
Legislator Nolan, before I let you go, I want to see if there's anyone else has a first time around to speak. Is there anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Legislator Nolan. Thank you.
Thank you. This request for funding from the ARPA committee came at the request of the Soil and Water Conservation District Board. Legislator Litz and I offered to bring it to the legislature and to bring it forward in a full form. They've heard presentations on it and they voted unanimously that we should move forward with it. So, and I don't believe it has any opposition from the executive director of Soil and Water. I don't know if all the legislators heard, but we did say that we have found a home for this program in planning. And if all works well, that's where it would be following the first year. If there are any problems that emerge, this allows some flexibility for that to change. But it's clear where it's going, and it's very clear what the money would accomplish, which is going beyond what's available through the $400,000 of funding that the Conservation District currently has and has any real opportunity to bring in for agriculture in the next 5 years. This level of funding is just not likely to be available and would require increased staff to go after. So we're creating a program that we will have in Ulster County an additional way of achieving this. And if there's ways that this will coordinate further with soil and water in the future, I'm all in favor of that. I've been serving as a liaison to the Soil and Water District every year that I've been in the legislature. And so we're committed to that program, but it's easy to see that there's federal money coming for climate resilience and a lot for farmland conservation that will be of a very different type than what the Conservation District has worked with in the past. And it may require, we think it's going to require, a person with a little bit different type of training to go after that kind of funding and to manage it and to help Ulster County do everything it can for its farmers.
So I'm all for open space, but we would have to hold the leases, the landowner agreements. It's a little out of our expertise or toolbox, but also it subjects the district to a lot of legal liability. And the state has already warned us, like, well, if you want to get involved in that, you better have some funding set aside for any potential litigation. So, and another thing is with communications with you, with ARPA funding, with that money we have dedicated for implementation, we're dealing with massive inflation with lumber, with steel, with concrete. So I asked you, hey, how about with each of these projects, can we tack on an additional 20% per farm for contingency. So, you know, so I emailed you about 3 weeks ago, but the ask is $73,000. That would help the farmers greatly because we want to implement projects that help them, not to bankrupt them.
I think Legislator Mahoney had your hand up again.
Look, have we asked the director if we expanded Soil and Water's funding, would they be able to do the majority of what we're trying to do here?
Chair Cahill?
Yeah, go ahead, Legislator Nolan.
I think this is a question for the Ulster County Soil and Water Conservation District Board. We have had those kinds of discussions, and I think that I welcome Legislator Maloney coming to one of those meetings and talking with the whole board. That is not a question for the executive director. It's a question for the board.
I disagree. I think that the director could opine on whether he thinks Soil and Water could do the majority of what we're trying to do here if funding was expanded. You're saying he can't answer a question like that?
So
he needs to consult the board to answer that question, but if he feels that
he can't.
Hold on, folks, please, just for a moment, please. Sorry, I'm going to step in and say, you know, I don't think that Mr. Wiedemeyer was prepared to go into that level of questioning here. He's coming to give us a presentation, and he's really not party to this resolution at this point, and he wasn't asked to, you know, to respond to that here. As a guest of this committee, to give a report. And I think if, like Legislator Nolan suggested, if there's a question as to how this should be looked at and who the responsibilities are, and if there's capacity to do this, that should go through the board and not ask an individual employee of what they think, right, at this point. Legislator Litz, then I'll come back to you, Legislator Nolan.
I think what we also have to keep in mind is that entire office is three people. And they do an inordinate amount of work right now with three people. I don't know how we could dump more on them at this time without increasing their staff by two or three.
Legislator Maloney?
But we're going to do it all with just one person that we don't even know what they're going to do. So I just think I just want to be on the record and say it's 2022. Here we are in America, and we're at a meeting of the Ulster County Legislature, and we can't ask a very capable person a simple question like the discussion we just had that you've already commented on some of these things. Do you think Soil and Water with more funding would be able to do some of this? We're to the point in this country where we can't ask a capable person a question like that. I think that's pretty sad.
I don't think I said that. I think that it was unfair to ask him to answer that question without giving him an opportunity to prepare for that.
That could be his answer.
Well, you know, could be.
But we're not going to ask.
You can ask me.
go ahead. We're going to let Legislator Hewitt speak first, and then Jake, we're going to let you go after that. And I think we're going to wrap it up after that.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan, I was wondering, with the $90,000 a year or the $75,000, whichever it would be, did you account for benefits in the expenses? And if there are three people in Soil and Water, I'm wondering how many people are in the planning department. And I agree with Legislator Maloney, increased funding in Soil and Water would increase the level of spending for staff. So Legislator Nolan, are benefits included in the expenses?
Slow down, everybody. We're going to get let Jake go in order, and then we'll come to Legislator Nolan, and then Legislator Litz had his hands up.
I feel that Legislator Litz is very correct. We are planning on hiring a second technician, but what we're finding with the candidate pool, to get somebody qualified up to speed, it'd take about 2 years. Get to know the farmers, the lay of the land. In terms of a third technician, we share an office with the USDA NRCS. We're only allotted room for one more employee. I might be able to negotiate another area for them, but since we partner with the NRCS, they pay our rent.
Thank you. So we'll go to Legislator Litz. And then Legislator Nolan.
I think we have to keep in mind that this is ARPA funding, and it is not something that we're going to get every year. I would wholeheartedly, if the legislature wants to put up a resolution and make this funding permanent, not just an ARPA funded thing, I definitely would vote to even not only give them more people at Soil and Water, I'd vote to expand their building so that we can house those people. But I think we're losing track of the fact that this is only 2-year funding that goes away. And typically when you hire permanent employees, they stay after the money's gone.
Okay, Legislator Nolan.
Thank you. To address Legislator Hewitt's questions, the difference between the salary line in year one and year two, which is $15,000, reflects the difference is money provided in the second year for benefits. So a contractor at $75,000 in year one and a salaried position at $75,000 plus benefits equals the $90,000 we have allocated to budget year two. One of the other considerations in terms of where this person and this funding and this program go is what Executive Director Wiedermeyer said. The Soil and Water Conservation District does not want to do land conservation and land conservation easements. That's a separate realm. They've been cautioned and recommended not to take it on. It's about a third of this program that is in front of the legislature. And the part of the reason to do that is we don't have another place where that is happening and somebody's in charge of it. And we need that. So I've agreed from the beginning with a salaried position to deal with agriculture for Ulster County. I just didn't think we could get to it, in this budget year. And this is a way to do it. But having that in the future will allow Ulster County to have some flexibility that the Soil and Water District doesn't have and doesn't want, for that very important aspect of helping farmers and preserving soil going forward. I think that the other aspect of this is that we have funding streams coming in that the Soil and Water Conservation Districts have not been traditionally working in. And so having somebody who has experience with those kinds of funding streams, having this program manager work with the Department of Environment as well as Economic Development really changes this perspective on who helps and how we help farmers. I do think that we need additional dollars coming in, and I'm committed to looking for and finding those for the things that the executive director mentioned and for things like a shed to house a second no-till drill. One of the reasons we're not looking for two drills right now is that the Soil and Water District is saying they have no place to put one. So
fair board. They've been very nice to us.
I'm happy to hear it. If we can get it over there, we should go for funding for that as well.
Okay. Thank you, Legislator Nolan. We're going to get, I saw Comptroller Gallagher, you had your hand up, but we're going to, okay, so we'll let Legislator Erner go, and then I think we're going to wrap this up.
Thank you, Chair Cahill. And I wanted to thank Jake for the presentation, and it's nice to see your face after many months of hearing your voice for the first time, hopefully in person sometime soon. Well, I want to thank the sponsors for having brought this, I think it creatively addresses issues that we're seeing here in the county in agriculture. I also appreciate concerns I'm hearing raised about efficiency. And I'm just wondering if down the road, not too long, we might think about whether we need something like a Department of Food and Agriculture that might sort of consolidate a lot of these functions we've been talking about in county government and would ultimately be a natural place to put this sort of position, perhaps. That's just something to think about. And if I come up with a way to make a resolution about it or would propose it to the Charter Revision Commission, I guess you all can watch for that. Thank you.
Legislator Maloney, yep, go ahead. And then
I just want to kind of summarize some of the things I've heard, that there's concerns about creating position with ARPA funds because the position's going to go away. So I heard, well, we don't want to give the money to soil and water for them to use for a new position because the position's going to go away, but we'll do it inside the county. We hear from soil and water how long it takes to get people up to speed and to train somebody, but we're going to do it inside the county with no expertise there. A third of it is open space. That's fine, that that soil and water does really not want to get involved in, but the majority of it is subsidizing farmers. And one of the things I heard was there's this $5,000 cap. Why wouldn't we just give the money to soil and water so they can raise that cap and do what they do, what they're experts at? I don't understand why we're looking to be redundant and duplicate inside the county where we have zero expertise. I mean, we showed how little we know when we started off by trying to throw it to economic development. Then we said, well, you know what? Maybe that doesn't make sense. Let's do it in planning. And I think the resolution that we're about to vote on, I don't even know if we've amended all that language yet, but let's pass it along. Guys, we don't know what we're doing. Soil and water does. Let's not try to reinvent the wheel here and waste a bunch of money. Let's just expand what the experts, what we're all happy with. I bet every person on this meeting thinks as highly of soil and water as Jake, as I do. So why don't we empower them to do what they do?
Anyone else have any other comments or questions before we call the vote? Okay, then all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. We're moving on to resolution 414, which is authorizing a right to cross the right-of-way owned by Ulster County of the Ulster and Delaware Railroad Corridor near milepost 4.8 in the city of Kingston to the Hudson Valley Housing Fund Company Incorporated. And this is a request from the Department of Planning. I'll accept a motion for discussion.
Motion.
Second.
Okay.
All right. So Corcoran and Litz. So I'll just briefly go over this. This has been in front of us multiple times since I've been back. So we're looking at it in our third year. I think it came up in our first year here. And it's been kind of floundering around. The last time it came through to our committee, I think it was last month, we had some issues with the CEQA language within the resolution. It has subsequently been amended by Planner Doyle to my personal satisfaction. And so I don't know if anyone else has had an opportunity to look at that amended resolution or if they have any questions or comments or concerns about it. And if you do, we can talk about it now. Okay, I don't see anyone. So with that, I'll request the vote. All those in favor?
Mr. Chairman, I believe you have to vote on the amendment.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you, Fawn. So with that, I'll ask that we accept the resolution as amended that was delivered to you in your packet. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And then a resolution as amended. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? One opposed. Okay. Thank you.
And I'm sorry. Did Mr. Maloney, did you vote for the amendment?
I voted yes on the amendment and no on the
resolution. Okay.
On the resolution.
Okay.
Thank you. So we're going to move on to resolution 417, which is setting a public hearing on the sale and or transfer of county. Oh, this was pulled, right? Was this the one that was pulled?
417 yeah. was pulled.
Yes, yeah. So 417 was pulled. 435, which is dedicating funding to implement the boost for Main Street programs, ARPA funding, Economic Recovery, Department of Economic Development. I'll accept the motion.
Motion to discuss.
All right. Second. Okay, Legislator Hewitt. Okay, so I guess, Tim, if you want to enlighten us a little bit here, I'm going to pull up the resolution here.
Chair Cahill, can I just chime in just one second as chair of ARPA?
Absolutely.
I just want to inform this committee that the ARPA committee voted unanimously to pass this.
Thank you. Any legislators have any comments before I ask Director Wiedemann to fill us in on this before we go forward? Okay, I got a couple of screens here, so it'll take me a second. Okay, Tim, if you don't mind giving us a little bit of background on this.
Sure. Thank you. So this program is designed to support businesses and commercial districts throughout the county. These are areas that were hit especially hard during the pandemic. And, you know, even before the pandemic, were an important source of economic activity throughout the county, often struggling with infrastructure needs and with marketing and branding as downtown business districts to be able to get the word out and generate additional visitation and support the businesses in those districts. We had heard even before the pandemic that that our downtown districts, in fact, way back, I think one of my first exposures to county government was actually participating in some of the work that the planning department did on a Main Street toolbox back in 2012 or 13. Really, you know, it's a matter of best practice in a community like Ulster County that's far flung, large, with, you know, rural pockets and urban pockets, to focus our economic development activities on our commercial cores. There is a state Main Streets program that has very limited funding. It's been successfully used in a couple cases throughout our county. And the idea here, as discussed with Legislator Criswell, was to put together a program that mirrors that New York Main Streets program using ARPA funds to help support businesses and commercial cores throughout the county. So with the consultation of the ARPA committee, we worked through a couple iterations of a program design that outlines the kind of basic gist of this. I'm happy to go into that if it is worth the committee's time tonight. We can also circulate that as backup material if that would be helpful. But the basic gist is that we would make available $2 million of the ARPA funding to make awards to commercial districts or to anchor businesses in those commercial districts through a competitive process that mirrors the state's Main Streets program. Looking for an evaluation process that would involve members of the legislature as well as members of the executive branch, and that ultimately would help to catalyze growth and support economic development in those commercial cores. I'm happy to go into any more level of detail, but maybe I'll turn it back to you, Chair Maloney, or Chair Cahill, to see if there's any questions from the committee.
Legislator Hewitt, sorry, I was muted there.
Thank you. I was just wondering if this is an expansion on the CARES funding that we were doing the business grants with.
No, this is a separate and distinct program. As you recall, we had the CARES 1 program, which was funded with monies from the New York State CDBG CARES program, $1 million of funding for that first round of CARES that we have basically completed at this point. We are just about to begin the CARES 2 funding, which was $2 million that was allocated through ARPA for individual grants of up to $35,000 to businesses that were impacted by the pandemic and that are low to moderate income business owners. This would be a separate and distinct program that would be geared towards larger core organizations within these commercial corridors. Awards would be up to $250,000 for larger capital projects, expansions, as well as up to $250,000 for the commercial districts themselves to do things like wayfinding signage or to do marketing and branding activities to drive more visitation to the downtown cores. Commercial facade programs would be another eligible use of the funds. So distinct from that CARES program in that it's supporting individual businesses, but also commercial areas.
Great, thank you.
Legislator Petit, I saw you had your hand up.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how to phrase this. I was looking at, and I thought it was a similar program in Dutchess County. It's a municipal investment grant, which goes through their planning department and is for towns and fire districts and wastewater. So it's infrastructure. So I'm still looking for clarification on why this funding can't go into another county department where there'd be more controls in place rather than give it to essentially a not-for-profit. And then to add on to that, I don't know if I've ever seen a USITA report of the expenditures, where the funding is going and what their annual budget is.
Mr. Chair, if I might respond.
Please do, Tim. Thank you.
Sure. So first thing, just to clarify, Legislator Petit, the funding here would not be for not-for-profit organizations, although they would be eligible to apply as ultimate recipients. The proposal, as with the CARES 2 project, is that the funding would be delivered and implemented through UCEDA. So it would go through the not-for-profit, but ultimately the awardees, eligible awardees, would be for-profit businesses, municipalities, and not-for-profits. The evaluation would really be driven by their ability to improve visitation and economic activity in our commercial cores. I'm sorry, I'm actually forgetting the second part of your question.
Me too. the reporting, annual reports from UCEDA.
So UCEDA has an audit that it completes annually that provides a full financial report and programmatic report. Happy to elaborate on that to any extent that this committee or others on the legislature are interested. We certainly will be providing an updated reporting on the CARES 2 program. We are about to launch it, and as that gets launched, we will provide statistics to the legislature, probably through this committee, as an update on the progress of that specific program.
Legislator Maloney.
I think, Laura, you had asked something about Dutchess County as well. But the CARES Act, and you can correct me, Tim, the CARES Act, the CARES 1 and CARES 2 was more, it was a lower sum of money that we were capped much lower. And it was more to save businesses, right, that were hurt, losing revenue during COVID. But this is more to a much higher cap, and it's to build and expand businesses in certain, I mean, is that a fair brief difference between the two?
I could mince words with you, but I think that's a fair overall characterization.
Okay. And that, now I was concerned, you know, historically, and I've said this before, when government gets involved in giving money out to businesses, it's usually by industry where you go, the state and the federal government did a lot for restaurants because they were so hurt during COVID. But now we're getting $250,000. That makes me very uncomfortable with the ability to give one business to help them expand. You could literally, with $250,000, helping one business expand, put another business out of business. And I just think when we're talking about money this big, and now we're really picking winners and losers. We're not going by industry, airlines, restaurants, banks. Where all every single company in that industry had the same ability to get those funds from the government, you're going down a real dangerous path when you're talking about giving somebody $250,000 without a ton of oversight. One other thing, you mentioned we've done something like this before, and you used the word successful. What do you mean? What is a success to you, and what is some examples of success in the past with regards to the county being involved in something like this? And I wouldn't mind you opining on my concern about industry, because I've pointed out before that the CARES Act actually went to businesses. And I just talked to a business owner of one of the businesses that was a half a mile away from a business in Saugerties, who was still pissed off about the money that his competitor got.
Sure. Let me, if I might, try to unpack that. I think the first thing about industry-specific focus, I understand that that's one approach to delivering support when it comes to economic development, and we've certainly used that approach in other programs. We've prioritized a set of industries in our Ulster 2040 strategy, and I think those are industries that we'd like to continue to see supported and strengthened in our community. They seem to be effective at delivering jobs, delivering quality, high-quality jobs that pay living wages. So there's a value to that. But I think the approach here is one that recognizes there is also a value to focusing our investments on the commercial areas and cores within our community that are ultimately where people want to go to shop, where people want to, increasingly want to live. They want to dine. They want to recreate. So, I think there's a recognition here, which is not unique to us. It's an approach that's been taken throughout the state, throughout the country, to focus our economic development on those commercial cores. So appreciate the feedback and input.
I would say that, you know, in approach here, what we're doing is saying, in this case, it's the geographic focus of the awardees that matters most in terms of driving the economic development outcomes that we want to see, not the industry itself. And so I think that's why we designed the program, this program, the way that we have, recognizing that these are larger awards. It will be incumbent on the review process and on the management of the grants going forward to ensure that we do take into consideration the impacts that this could have on competition with other businesses. The idea is to lift the commercial districts. So there certainly would be a sensitivity to not disrupting other businesses in that commercial district. That'll be a part of the evaluation and review that the evaluation committee goes through before selecting businesses for award. You know, this is, again, modeled after a program at the state level that has been successful. We've seen it used successfully in communities here. The two that come to mind, we had one project in the Accord area that applied for Main Street's grant. Ultimately, that project wasn't successful, but they then sought funding from New York State Empire State Development and were successful there to try to revitalize a blighted building in that hamlet that ultimately will add to the commercial strength of that core and make it a more livable, walkable commercial destination. We've seen other communities in the county use the Main Streets program for facade improvement programs. And so that's another example that we've seen successful here in Ulster County.
Just want to make sure that everyone else had an opportunity to talk here, Joe.
Yeah.
Right, go ahead, Joe.
Two more concerns. you know, there's language in the state enabling legislation with regards to the IDA, and it's this famous thing that a lot of us talk about that have issues with some of these pilots, and it's the if not for language. And it's really important when government starts giving out money for something, it's easy to say, well, they did this. It was a success. If they were going to do that anyways, it's not a success. It's a handout. So I haven't heard a lot about the controls and the management of this where we're going to ensure that if not for language and make sure that this is truly something that doesn't hurt another business, really does help grow a business and a type of business that we want to grow. And I hear a lot of words and phrases that make me think we're still all about tourism. And I think we really got to pump the brakes. Because there's no place for anyone to live. Every person that travels here now, we have too many people traveling to Ulster County to the point where the wait staff and the truck drivers and so many other middle class jobs don't even have a place to live anymore. And that's really going to start hurting us when we start losing the few manufacturing and industrial jobs that we have, because there's nowhere for people to live that are making 20, 25 bucks an hour. And then then you're really in a downward spiral when you start losing those jobs, the ones that you really want in industry, industrial manufacturing. We need more of those. And it just seems like a lot of this approach to economic development in Ulster County, we're still being driven by this tourism. I don't know how many more walking trails we want to spend money on, because I still don't know where anyone is going to live anymore. And a lot of that is because the people that are coming up here, we're now out of hotels to the point where 5% of our housing stock is Airbnb. And that's all for tourism. Tourism is not necessarily real great paying jobs a lot as well. So I'm just troubled by a lot of things. I know it means well, but I just think we're being a little irresponsible with some of this. But I appreciate the, you know, that it's, you know, in well interest and intended.
if I might, I mean, I think that's a really interesting and legitimate point that I think, you know, I think Lisa and I talk a lot about this. This is the challenge of tourism, but it's also something that we need to recognize our strengths and often play to our strengths. But I think Legislator Maloney, the point I would just make is that I think we need to recognize that these amenities are quality of life amenities too for residents who are here, which is important as we want to create a place where ultimately the competition globally these days is not on who has the most natural resources or even who has the best technology. It's who has the people. And, you know, and not to take away at all from the struggle that kind of, you know, pinch on housing and cost of living has. I mean, I feel it and I know many people who do, and I'm sure lots of us do. But I think we need to be careful to recognize that these quality of life amenities are really what make us competitive as a region for people, which is the commodity of the future. And so what I would say is that this program is designed to strengthen the quality of life in these commercial cores. But ultimately, as you see in the outline, which we'll send around, we're also allowing that residential projects in the commercial cores could be eligible, with a goal to try to incentivize more residential construction or retrofits in these commercial cores, which not only adds housing, but it adds it in the right places, which are places that are compact, walkable, transit accessible, have the infrastructure. So, you know, I take to heart what you're saying. I don't disagree. I think we need to think carefully about those things in programs like this.
I'm just going to chime in here with something that my town government is doing right now. We have a, Joe, to your point, we have a manufacturing company that has trouble getting housing. So what he has done is he's requested that to the town board, where he can actually build housing on in his facility for people to come and live. I can't think of the name of the place right now. Out behind the old Burlington there.
Chairman, it's Fala Technology.
Thank you, Fala Technology. Yeah, so Fala is actually in front of our town board right now with the request to build housing on their site for their employees. And I think that that's kind of like what Tim is talking about here, where we could probably, you know, work with some of these folks who do need housing. It might be something that we explore in a wider range here going forward. Anyone else have any questions or comments before we move on? Okay. Oh, sorry, Chris, go ahead.
Thank you. I think Legislator Maloney has a good point about often focusing on tourism when a word like wayfinding can be seen as a tourism word, so people, when they visit, know how to get around. But at the same time, if we think about it as how do we get locals to shop at Main Street, how do we get signage to be clear about what is a vibrant Main Street, what is walkable, what is bicycle friendly, I like the program because they could be focused on locals. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a quick question to Chris. I mean, but those things that sounds like government. You know, those are government signs and street signs. I mean, I'm all for that. We're talking about giving money to the private sector here, correct? For their own business signage or whatnot. That's different than what you just described, and I'm all for what you're saying. You know, and I just like to say that what's going to get people here and keep them here in the future is good schools, clean water, green energy, infrastructure, and high paying jobs. But that's not what I hear this money's going to be spent for. I hear amenities. You know, I don't know if that's the government's job to help businesses with, you know, and amenities.
Hold on one second.
Legislator Hewitt, do you have a comment?
Thank you. I think that's a good point, Legislator Maloney. It makes me realize that RUPCO recently applied for a consolidated funding application with the state in order to create more vibrant districts around, I think, mostly Kingston. But they are an agency that's helping many businesses across the whole street work together and collaborate. And so it's not like one business will thrive and take off. I think that will help us to have a coordinated effort to make it work.
Thank you. Tim, you had a comment?
Just to clarify the signage example, you know, I think if you look at Rosendale, which Dennis and the planning department worked closely with Rosendale in a wayfinding and signage program, that's an example of what we're talking about here. It's to supplement normal street signs to guide both visitors and residents on how to get to local destinations. Just to clarify that, and you know, appreciate all the feedback and input. This is all helpful, and we are working with RUPCO. They're hoping to get funding award from the state to do something very similar on the Broadway corridor in Kingston, which we would obviously support as a way to augment the efforts that we're proposing here with the Boost for Main Streets program.
Thank you. Any more comments or questions before I call for the vote? Okay, then. So on resolution number 435, right? Yeah. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. So we're going to move on to 436, which is approving the execution of a contract for $2 million entered into by Ulster County and the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance, Department of Finance, resolution, oh, that's a typo there, resolution 453, 2022, is that correct? Oh, no, that's a typo on the agenda. So it ends at Department of Finance resolution.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, that was a typo.
Yeah, that's a typo. So we're going to end it there with the Department of Finance there. So that's a contract for the what we just discussed, right? Yeah. So all those, any discussion on it? I'll accept a motion to move it.
Motion.
Second, Criswell. Any discussion on it before we vote? Looking around.
I'm sorry. What number resolution is this?
This is 436. This is the contract for.
Oh, okay. Yes.
ARPA fund that we just discussed with USITA. Okay. Any comment on the contract? Okay. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So then we're going to move on to resolution 453, which is setting a public hearing to satisfy the public participation requirements of the Community Development Block Grant Program, Department of Economic Development. Accept the motion.
Motion.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. Resolution 454 is authorizing a public hearing for the possible transfer of real property owned by Ulster County and located in the town of Rochester to the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance, Department of Economic Development. A motion for discussion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Second, Legislator Hewitt. Tim, do you want to just give us a little bit of a brief background? I know that I think you went over this one other time with us.
Yeah, I might have mentioned it before, but this is the resolution that authorizes a public hearing on the potential surplus of this foreclosed commercial and residential property in the hamlet of Accord. This is the old laundromat property, which has been subject to an environmental review and ultimately was deemed free of any contamination issues. So this is moving forward to surplus that property to market it and sell it for potentially redevelopment of commercial and housing uses on the property. It's about 3 or 4 acres, if I'm not mistaken, right in the hamlet on Towpath Road. We've had expressions of interest, kind of informal expressions of interest from a number of folks in the community interested in redeveloping the site. We feel confident that once it's in USITA's hands, it can market and sell the property relatively quickly.
Okay, great. Legislator Hewitt, then Legislator Maloney.
Thank you. I just want to echo what Director Wiedemann said. It's in a very vibrant area of Accord Main Street for Accord, but Accord has started to take off with a small Accord market, and there's a big project called the Granary that is planning to be a brewery and market and restaurant, and this property is straight across, and it would be involved with the rail trail development as well in that spot.
Mr. Maloney?
Now, this, Mr. Wiedemann said there is environmental issues or there isn't?
There was a long process to determine whether there were environmental issues. The site was ultimately cleared and DEC signed off on it. Dennis, you may have more detail if we want to go into more detail on that.
When was the last time this the owner paid a tax payment on this property?
I'm not aware and could find that answer, but don't know it off the top of my head.
Because I know getting on the clerk's website, I saw that there was a legal impediment in 17 and 18. And then I remembered seeing this property on that list when we were looking into 701 Grand Avenue, which we still haven't got to the bottom of. And I believe this goes back almost as long, if not longer, than 701 Grand Avenue. So we might be talking 10 or 11 years here. There was only 2 years where I saw there was legal issues. I believe I saw it on the hazardous list when I got the hazardous list going back years ago. So now we have another property. It's almost like a mirror image of 701 Grand Avenue where it didn't pay taxes for 10 years. There was supposedly legal issues. There was supposedly hazardous issues, which there wasn't. Obviously, we know that the legal impediment thing is probably the same as 701 Grand Avenue, which that isn't. What happened here? And now we want to transfer it to the EDA where we lose all jurisdiction because there's some private entity that I'm sure is perfect for it. No one has an issue here with another 701 Grand Avenue? Can anybody explain from the executive branch of government? Anyone explain why this was considered hazardous and then not, and then hazardous and then not, and there was legal issues and then there wasn't, and this property just sat out there for 10, 11 years? Can anyone explain?
So I'm going to go to Comptroller Gallagher, if you don't mind. I'll go to, we'll go to you first and then we'll go to Planner Doyle. I don't see anyone on the executive team here who is speaking up. So,
All right. Thank you. I just want to note that this property has been flagged in our real property tax audit. It is one of the properties that has received similar treatment to 701. I agree with Legislator Maloney's analysis that it does appear on and off the list, the hazardous list, as well as having legal impediments cited multiple times. I think this is just another example of a process that requires more oversight, which is, needs to happen for the bulk of properties that are being held in abeyance that should be added to the auction. So, from what we can see from the record, there is very clear communications with attorneys to the Department of the Environment stating that there really is not a significant environmental risk on the property. And I think, hopefully our work will inform you, but I believe there are a number of properties in this category.
Thank you. Planner Doyle, I'm going to let Legislator Nolan go first, and then I'll come to you, and then Joe will come back to you.
Well, Planner Doyle may have better information on this, but I'm just recalling that I heard a presentation from Deputy Director Amanda LaValle about the need for the county to develop a mechanism to settle some of these issues, and that recently the county has enacted that. I think we actually voted on it as legislators to move that forward. And I think that some of what we may be seeing is the result of now having a process to get past some of these roadblocks where there were questions raised and the county didn't have an effective mechanism for making the determination. So I was going to suggest that maybe if it wasn't to this committee, that this committee invite Amanda LaValle to come and speak on that, unless Director Doyle is prepared to do that or help us understand that new program.
We'll go to Planner Doyle.
Thank you, Chair. Just to back up a little bit in terms of where we are on some of this work. This was a site that was actually flagged by the Department of Environment for environmental issues. The Department of Environmental Conservation came in and they tested the site. That's why it was held off from going to auction. The site has a lien against it, a DEC lien against it to pay off that in the environmental work that was done. I believe that lien is in the neighborhood of about $35,000 worth of study work that was done. When the lien was taken and DEC cleared the site, the county did take it for auction. And then what we did is we looked at it and thought that the existing house on the property has four apartment units in it. It's also an historic house. It's a part of the Rochester Historic District in the hamlet of Accord. So we thought it had an opportunity to use portions of that property for either affordable housing, or the county was still looking for some sites for its respite house. And so we asked that it be withheld from the auction relative to that. So that's where we are on this. And then there's been renewed interest from other people because of the economic investment going on in Accord to take a look at redoing that laundromat. We thought that was going to actually have to be a teardown. There are looks at this with respect to how we can continue to look at this property for affordable housing purposes or respite housing purposes, as well as achieve the redevelopment of that laundromat property. And there's been some concept plans out there, but I just want to let the committee know that there was an actual study with respect to this and testing done. So there was a real concern with respect to environmental contamination here. And it wasn't until the site was cleared by DEC that we took it. And as it was cleared, it's my understanding that we went and foreclosed upon it at that particular time.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney?
I was just wondering a couple of things, but what year was it flagged and what year was it cleared? And could you provide documentation to that? And any other documentation you have regarding these? Because in the last comptroller's report, there was quite a bit of documentation that I have no access to. And I'd love to know what was going on behind. I'm also very interested in who has contacted the county and shown interest. And so can you tell me when was it first flagged? Because we're going back many years that it was deemed environmental, which I assume was when it was flagged. So that's many years ago.
Yeah, we can get you that information. I can't answer the question with respect to who's contacted the county, but we could certainly get you the information in terms of when it was flagged and when the outreach to DEC occurred and when the testing on the site occurred.
Or how do you, who told you that businesses have shown, people have shown interest in the property?
The same people that were involved in the granary discussion have indicated, it's right across the street, have indicated a willingness to take a look at that property on the other side. And that was part of a gateway meeting that we had with the granary project in terms of their development.
This house has been vacant for the last 10 years, or have people been living in there?
I don't have a vacancy status with respect to the house or how long it's been vacant.
Were there people ever living in there over the last 10 years?
I don't have that status, whether it's 10 years or not. I just don't know. I can tell you that we do know that there are apartment units in it.
Because if we weren't going to foreclose because of environmental issues, it's alarming if there were people living on the property for all those years. I'd love to have the county attorney and the commissioner of finance come in and answer questions about this, where those are basically the only two individuals that have the right not to foreclose. I know no one wants to get to the bottom of $10 million and 701 Grand Avenue. I was promised we would get to the bottom of it. We are not. We have false statements from the commissioner of finance about it being a legal issue that was debunked later. And now here we go again. And we're just going to pass it along to the EDA. The same individuals that have not foreclosed on all these properties are now going to have no jurisdictional oversight to do whatever they want with the property.
Comptroller Gallagher. Oh, I'm sorry. Legislator Petit had her hand up. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Two questions. And thank you, Legislator Nolan. I do recall when Director Laval had made a presentation about funding to check properties. So I'm wondering, was this one of the five properties that we were verifying in advance before we transferred them for public housing use? And the other question is, and I think my eyes are tired, but I'm looking for the actual parcel, the SBL, which I don't seem to see in the resolution itself. So if I could have that, I'd appreciate it. Is it just tired eyes?
I'll get it for you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Comptroller Gallagher.
Yeah, I did just want to share with everybody that it hasn't paid taxes since 2011, and there's about $114,000 owed on it.
Thank you. So if there's,
and was this one of the five properties in the resolution that we've been holding? No, it's not.
I don't have the answer to that.
Okay.
So real quick, Comptroller Gallagher, you said that you flagged some properties on the environmental list. Is that what we're talking about? Right.
We have a number of properties that, became identified through our real property tax audit as properties that have been eligible for foreclosure for many, many years and have an inconsistent record in the county clerk's legal files as to why they have not been foreclosed upon or why they were not acted upon, you know, in over that course of a decade or so. So, you know, we're putting together something on all of those properties together, and I hope to have that to you guys soon, you know, next 2 months or something. Yeah.
Okay. Director Wiedemann.
So I absolutely respect the conversation about kind of backward looking, how we got to the situation. I have little to say about that because it was before my time, but I think the point of this resolution is to begin a process that would culminate in a resolution back before this body, requiring this body to then vote whether or not to actually surplus this property to UCEDA. A reminder that that's one of two methods for us to dispose of property, the other being through public auction. And in this case, I think the facts that Dennis pointed out, and it was actually me who said that there have been others interested in this property. And as Dennis pointed out, one of those is a developer that's purchased a property across the street and has an interest in eliminating an eyesore right next to a property that they're going to invest tens of millions of dollars in. But there are others that have stepped forward. And if it pleases you, Legislator Maloney, I'm happy to get contact info from those folks. I would expect that they will all make themselves known when there's an opportunity. If this body proceeds to surplus the property to USITA, there would be an RFP process. So there'd be a public transparent process by which they would submit their proposals to purchase the property. Likewise, if this body chooses not to surplus and chooses instead to go to auction, their information would be public at auction as well. But so just a reminder that this is about, this particular resolution is about how we proceed now that we have cleared this of environmental concerns and have a property that the county has foreclosed on that has promised to be redeveloped as a part of a commercial district that is seeing renewed investment.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Comptroller Gallagher a quick question, Joe, and then I'll come back to you if you don't mind. So Comptroller Gallagher, so you said you flagged some parcels that have inconsistent records in the clerk's office. You know, did this one jump out at you? Is there something special about this, or is this just one of, you know, I guess I'm trying to get to this. You know, is this a matter of sloppy bookkeeping and record keeping, or do you think that there's something nefarious happening here with these properties? I mean, I want to get to the bottom of this because we hear it month after month after month, accusations of some nefarious activity taking place in relation to properties that have been surplused and on, you know, foreclosable on the county rolls for quite some time. You know, this one pales in comparison. I mean, sorry, the 701 is a different league than this one. It's a hundred some thousand bucks over the course of 10 years, right? Or 11 years, whatever it is, right? And I don't think it's in the same league as 701 Grant. However, the deficiencies in the record keeping and all of that are the same. I don't dispute that, right? However, you know, we do stand a chance to get that money back rather quickly, right? Either through USITA or through a public auction, right? So the fact that USITA has the ability to market this and, you know, take the bids is something to me that is favorable than going to public auction, because we'll know who those people are. They will be vetted. If we go to public auction, they will not be vetted, right? And so I'm just trying to get your feel for, you know, what do you think about that? Even though, you know, we know that there's some sloppy record keeping on this particular parcel.
So I personally do not object to the transfer to USITA. I think that's the purpose of entities like USITA. It is to be more flexible with the disposition of property. I do think this is a good economic development opportunity. And, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for economic development. I mean, I want to see these things returned to the tax rolls as quickly as possible. I do not see any, at this point, I do not see any sort of nefarious intent on these properties. I would say there's like maybe between 15 and 20 that we were significantly concerned about. I think that it's not just sloppy record keeping. I think that there was generally, you know, there was actually confusion by staff about how these properties should be treated. We do not have a policy that is all encompassing that deals with these. Many counties have committees that are made up of multiple people that meet on a regular basis to discuss these properties. And in fact, you know, we have a draft policy that we, I think, have shared, but would be happy to share again. So I do think there's a way to clean it up. I just think that I want people to know that this is one of those properties, so that if you, you know, you do send it to USITA, I'm not coming back in 6 weeks or 7 weeks and saying like, oh, hey, this was on the list. And you guys are like, wait, what? There are about 15 to 20 properties that are in this weird category. None of them owe as much as 701. But it really does add up. I mean, this one's only $114,000 in back taxes. Some of them are more. And it does show a sort of a weakness in us turning these over. And when you add them up, there could be at least an amount that is material to the taxpayer, right? So, yeah, I think we need to change the way that we handle these properties. We need a more comprehensive approach, a committee type structure to kind of make sure that things are being bird dogged through the process. And And I'm glad we're cleaning it up. And I'm also glad that we're talking about it in this context today, because I think just moving these properties to UCEDA without acknowledging that they're one of the properties that are in this limbo land would be a mistaken, you know, act. It would just, it's a lost opportunity to talk about, you know, better ways to improve our processes. So I hope that answers the question. I will try to, you know, expedite that. Obviously, it's been a focus of ours and it's a very big undertaking. I don't know if you know, I've been to town hall in town of Ulster, like looking over Susie Reeby's shoulder at how she enters taxes. And it's a big process what we're working on, but I get these properties are an issue for you. And I'm happy to kind of put together a list of just what those properties are that we've identified so far so that you have them in economic development, sort of the list that, you know, we have, that we're looking at. And I will share that with you, with the committee and Tim.
Yeah, I think it's really important that if we're going to be looking to offload these to UCEDA, that we have a full understanding of those specific properties anyway, right? Yeah. All right. Deputy Exec Kelly, haven't heard from you yet tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to first thank Legislator Maloney. I think these are all, you know, perfectly valid questions regarding process. And I do want to thank Comptroller Gallagher, who has been, sorry, my daughter just showed up too, who has been instrumental in kind of flagging these properties and inconsistencies in the process over time. I think that in my discussions with her and with others on our staff is we're trying to get to a point where the pathways will be consistent. So when we present these properties to the legislature and this committee, you'll see the clear paths with each of these properties, whether they're for public use and benefit, commercial developments, or for Mimi Puppy here. But it really is. And I'm a firm believer in a good process will kind of answer a lot of these questions and allay concerns and really move us to a point where after a 3-year period where somebody becomes in arrears to the county, we're moving on these. Amanda has undertaken a process with ARPA funds where we now will have the ability to step out and do 10, 15 properties in a year to make that environmental assessment on a rolling basis. And then we won't be in this 10-year window. The regular communication with the legislature will happen. So, you know, the questions, while sometimes can be uncomfortable, I'm sure for some of the staff, they're the right questions to ask and they push us in the direction we need to be as a county. So I sincerely want to thank you guys for pushing.
And my ball.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any more questions or comments? I see Legislator Maloney has his hand up. Go ahead, Joe.
I'd just like to point out that, you know, if this property was put back on the tax rolls when it should have been, you're talking about a lot more than $100,000 in lost revenue as well. So we can say it's 115, but it's far more than that. It seems like the assessment was quite low as well, if there's no environmental issues there. You know, with regards to, you know, 701 Grand Avenue was mentioned. These are two different properties. 701 Grand Avenue does have a lot more alarming, you know, attributes to it. And I would just like, I know, Chair, that you're on Ways and Means. I don't know how we haven't seen the Commissioner of Finance in Ways and Means. I think we should be calling the Commissioner of Finance and the County Attorney in to answer simple questions. This statement was made about a legal issue. There was no legal issue. You said there. I have quotes that were in the paper about legal issues. Ask the county attorney. If we really want to get to the bottom of this property and 701 Grand Avenue and maybe others, why don't we call? We can go into executive session. Why don't we call the Commissioner of Finance and the county attorney in and just ask them very simple questions? The Commissioner of Finance is saying it's the county attorney. I doubt it's the county attorney, but let's see what the county attorney says. If we really want to get to the bottom of $11 million and maybe more in lost taxes, and I don't think we should necessarily move on without getting answers on all of these properties and what happened there. It's our job. So with the false statements, manipulated documents, that was all in the comptroller's report. We've just acted like this isn't happening. And here we are again. I'll ask to postpone while I'm talking about both as if they're one because they're so similar. I'll ask for just a postponement to guarantee that we're going to get to the bottom of all this before. And I do think we should have a robust conversation on why we don't go to the tax auction anymore. And we seem to want to transfer so many properties. If there's all these capable businesses involved that we now know there's multiple contacting the county, to go and pick one seems almost improper.
Okay, so I'm just going to ask that we get back on track here. This is a public hearing resolution, and I'd like to get back on track on that. I know we've covered a lot of ground, gave a lot of leeway in the discussion tonight, and I think that that was fair. However, I think we should get back to the resolution itself. You mentioned that you wanted to put a motion in to postpone it.
I'll make a motion to postpone.
Do we have a second on the committee?
No.
Okay, so there's no second, so therefore we'll be moving on the resolution. So on resolution 454, which is authorized a public hearing, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. Resolution 455, amending capital project number 334, Kingston Rail Trail, PIN 8758.04, a reimbursement request for the, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature execute agreement certifications and reimbursement requests for the federal aid on behalf of Ulster County with the New York State Department of Transportation for construction and construction inspection, amending the 2022 Capital Fund Budget Department of Planning.
Say that again.
Yeah, right. motion. Legislator Criswell, second. Legislator Corcoran, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Resolution 457, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $403,918 entered into by the county for Barton and Lagadusi DPC Department of Planning. I know I messed that name up.
LaJudas.
Thanks, Herb. Motion?
Motion.
Second?
Chair, I'll second it.
Okay. So, Dennis, would you mind giving us a little bit of a brief overview on this?
Sure. Thank you. We finally have construction go ahead for the Kingston Rail Trail. It's been a long struggle. Part of it had to do with the fact that we were held up in land acquisition. We now have acquired all the land. We've made the necessary amendments to the State Environmental Quality Review Act was done. We had to redo our environmental work. So we anticipate you'll see a contract very shortly from NYSDOT as well for this for construction. So when that happens, we should let the project hopefully by the end of this month, or if not early in October. And we should be able to go to construction. We're waiting for final federal highway final approval to let the project. And this contract is the construction inspection work associated with that. And there's also money in this contract to make up for overages that occurred because of our necessary work that we had to do with Central Hudson and our issues associated with land acquisitions. So there's additional design work in here as well, and that's reflected in the resolution.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes. I'm sorry. I missed who was first, Herb or Pete, whichever you guys.
Go ahead, Herb.
I just wanted to ask, what's the overall cost of the project for construction?
About 2.8.
Okay.
Total project cost.
Legislator Criswell?
Yeah, I just wanted, if you could remind me where the Kingston Rail Trail is as opposed to Midtown Linear Park.
Sure. It starts at Washington Avenue, and it runs the old O&W Railroad. It runs out through and connects into the trail that runs along Route 209. It'll connect in out past. There's a tunnel under Route 209, just past the tunnel. So it'll connect right in there.
Out by Best Western, where we're just talking about with this.
It's right. The parking lot will be at Best Western, and it will connect into the existing parking lot on Route 209.
Got it. I thought so. I just wanted to make sure.
So yep. How much does, Dennis, what is the contiguous length of that trail going to be at that point when this is complete?
I think it's around I'd like to say it's around over 2 miles.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I can get you the exact mileage, but it's over 2 miles.
Thank you.
It may actually be in the resolution.
It probably is. Any questions or comments? Okay, then I'll call for the vote. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, great, thank you. Resolution 458, which is authorizing a public hearing as required under Article 25AA of the Ag Market Law regarding the 8-year review of the Ag District Number 4 and providing direct notice to affected municipalities.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
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 Thank you. So we have Resolution 459, which is appointing member to the Ulster County Planning Board for the town of Kingston.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it since I represent the town of Kingston. How's that? All those, are there any questions or anything? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Resolution number 460, which is reappointing alternate member to the Ulster County Planning Board for the village of Ellenville.
I'll move it.
Second. Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So we have resolution number 462, which is approving the execution of a contract for $5,855 entered into by the county for S&O Construction Services Incorporated at Ulster County Community College. Accept a motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
And I see we have the president, Buckley, in attendance. If you'd like to comment on this briefly, give us a little bit of background.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. We are appreciative of the county support of all of our capital projects. This resolution approves the execution of a contract in the amount of $505,855 with S&O Construction Services. It is the replacement of the rooftop HVAC on Hardenberg Hall. 50% is reimbursable from the New York State Dormitory Authority.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions, concerns? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, President Buckley. Appreciate you hanging around for your short time there. Thank you.
No, thank you. Very much.
Resolution 463, which is designating Ulster County Department of Tourism as the official tourism and promotion agency of Ulster County for the Department of Tourism.
I'll make the motion.
I will second the motion because I'm a big fan of tourism department. Any questions or comments? I'm going to ask Director Berger to give us a little bit of update, maybe a few minutes, if you don't mind, before we vote on it.
Certainly. I'm happy to give you a little update. I Love New York released their tourism economics numbers approximately 2 weeks ago, and Ulster County Tourism saw a 67% growth in visitor spending in the year 2021. So that was over 2020. So we now bring in over $862 million in visitor spending. That's our current number, and that's 124% growth from 2019, which was a pre-pandemic year. So we are doing extremely well, and this resolution designating us as the official tourism promotion agency for the county enables us to participate in I Love New York programming and to receive I Love New York matching funds dollars. And and we have to have that designation in order to participate in the program. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions for Director Berger? All right, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so that ends our resolutions. Does anyone have any old business that they'd like to discuss committee on this committee? Okay, any new business they'd like to bring up? Legislator Hewitt?
I would like to request a presentation at next month's meeting. Should I just speak to you directly, Chair? It's about, or should I tell you about it now?
No, you could get, you if you want to give us a preview, sure, but it's no problem.
Some of you may know Henry Gage Jr. He's been appointed the new president of the Hemp Industrial Board of New York State, and he has a hemp house in Kingston that during the ice storm, they didn't have heat, but it maintained a 70-degree ambient temperature because of the thermal mass of the hemp concrete. And he's recommending having a presentation to this committee in order to talk about how we can support hemp in industrial hemp in Ulster County.
Great. We'll be welcome him.
Okay. I'll get it on the agenda. Thank you.
Great. Any other comments or questions before we ask for a motion to adjourn? All right. Well, thank you, everyone. I appreciate the feedback. We had a pretty good discussion tonight, and I think that we, you know, make some headway on some of these things in the future. And I do always appreciate the time that you folks put into this committee and, you know, your comments. Thank you.
I will make a motion for adjournment.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks,
everybody. Take care. See you soon. Bye. Be safe. Stay healthy.
Thank you, everybody.